Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In our Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue is Congresswoman Robin Kelly. She's hosting her fifth annual hiring event and job readiness workshop. I think that is a good idea. As I said earlier, I'm always happy to shine a light on anybody that's helping anybody either get a job or get a better job or a better paying job. So props to you, Congresswoman, for doing that. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And let's talk about that. After I ask you this, do you know Frederica Wilson, the Democratic Congresswoman from Florida, who evidently was in the vehicle listening to the president's consolation call? Do you know her?
Oh, definitely. We work together every time I'm in D.C. We sit next to each other sometime. We don't chair a committee together, but we talk all the time.
What do you make of this story?
Knowing Congresswoman Wilson like I do, I can't believe that she made this up. She's a very dedicated, caring person. She's done tremendous things in her life and what is her district with young boys. She is the leader in the whole Boko Haram and Bring Back the Girls. She's been tremendous, a very caring individual.
The president's chief of staff called her an empty barrel who just makes noise.
I am so disappointed that he did that. I am so disappointed. It sounds like he's talking about his boss, not about Congressman Wilson.
I wonder what protocol is on something like that. That is it inappropriate when the president calls? I don't know that any of us knows the answer to this, but what's your sense of the thing? If the president calls to offer condolences to the widow, should she have it on speaker? Should she be sharing that with her family or another member of Congress?
I mean, she's in mourning. I'm sure she's in shock. She's left with two children to raise, and she's pregnant. So I'm not going to say she did something wrong because she lost so much, you know? And the thing is, her mother-in-law backs up what Congressman Wilson has said. She said that she felt very disrespected by the president. He didn't know anyone's name or didn't mention his name. Even when he talks about it, he said the...
Your guy.
Yeah, your guy. But also referring to her, he didn't say her name either.
I've been pressed to sort of determine how much importance to put on this whole story anyway. It's just another distraction. The president's caught in his own lies, and with all due respect to the lives lost and the widow, it's not that important to the rest of us. You know, there are more important things for us to do than did the president grieve appropriately or not. In that sense, this whole story is a bit of a distraction, don't you think?
I think it's just adds to a long line of him not seemingly able to be empathetic or sympathetic or show his humanness, you know, and also what he's been in office 271 days and, you know, the lies upon lies upon lies. But, I think he likes chaos. That's what it seems like.
Well, they've championed that, or at least they haven't run away from that notion, at least early on in his first, say, 6 months, that this sort of management by chaos is getting a lot of things done. It's very disruptive if you're going to drain the swamp. So, of course, it would be chaotic. But I think some of us are now wondering, and I'll segue now to like, okay, so what is the Congress doing? So much attention has been spent on the Senate. What is the House generally doing or accomplishing these days?
Well, it doesn't feel like we're accomplishing a lot. And part of it is you would think since they're in control of the presidency, the House and the Senate, that they would be getting a lot accomplished. But they are in chaos also. And I can't speak as much about the Senate, but the House, there seems to be different factions of the Republican Party, so they can't get things together, hence the Affordable Care Act, even tax reform. The list goes on. We should be talking about infrastructure. We're not talking about that. That will put people back to work. I mean, there's things we can be doing, and we should be trying to do them in a bipartisan fashion. But
how would you prioritize things? Like, if the Congress were to be doing things now, What would your agenda be for them?
Well, I definitely want to get the Affordable Care Act on good footing or better footing, because it feels unstable now, even though it was doing what it was supposed to do. But I don't think there's a Democrat that would say it was the perfect bill. No such thing.
So you're open to tweaking it?
For instance, definitely.
Well, there is this bipartisan bill now in the Senate. Are you apprised of that? What's in there?
I've seen some of it, not everything, but it sounds like it's a very good start. It's a short-term answer. You know, we would have, but it would buy us time until, for a few years. But so I think it's a good start. But the president has, I can't remember, has he been for it, against it, for it, or something like that?
It was the funding. I mean, we all know he's against it, but then would he then at least fund some of the provisions? And he's been back and forth on that, too. I don't know where we are on that.
And
right now.
I think he's against right now, but also, even if it made it through the Senate, would it make it through the House? That's the problem.
And what is your sense of that? I mean, is the House as divided as the Senate is in its support of the president or some of his agenda items?
It seems like, and maybe because the numbers are closer in the Senate, where we're down by 24 members in the House, so they are large and in charge. But in the Senate, they're a little bit more closer. It seems like they have to work together.
But he has more wiggle room in your body.
A lot more
in your
wiggle
chamber.
Room. Yeah. He should have, but then he hasn't really been able to get things passed. Even when they tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the first time since I've been there, 20 Republicans peeled off of that. So they didn't all agree. So, you know, we'll see. Every day is new and different.
Congresswoman Robin Kelly from Chicago is in our studio. Just real quick, though, on the tax plan, what would you like to see happen, and what do you make of the president's proposal?
Well, I don't make much of his proposal. I mean, I think we should have a graduated tax. I think we need to look at some of the loopholes. I do think 35% is high for businesses, but then supposedly most businesses really don't pay that much because they pay between 14% and 20% because of the loopholes. But, I want it to be fair. I want it to make sense. I want it to be fair to businesses and individuals, and I think that it should be graduated based on how much you can pay. And also, again, the middle class does need a break.
Should the rich pay more?
Yeah, I think so.
More than they're currently paying?
I don't know. Well, let's look at the loopholes. You know, because we say the rich pay so much, but then they have more loopholes that they can jump through, I guess, or have to their benefit.
I want to talk to you about your job fair. Is that a fair way to describe it? It's a hiring
event. Yeah,
are there jobs that are looking for seekers?
We only let businesses come that have current job openings or know they will have a job opening soon. We just don't let people come. So it's our fifth year. It's from 9 to 12 at South Suburban College. And we do it because when I first came into office and Illinois was still reeling from the recession and had a high rate of unemployment, but my district had even a higher rate. So we had the idea of doing a job fair and hopefully connecting residents to jobs.
What are the communities in your district? Who do you represent?
I represent the 2nd Congressional District, so I thought start at 53rd and Cornell, and I go all the way to Kankakee County. So I'm urban, suburban, and rural. So I often say I have the city slickers, the suburbanites, and the farmers.
Huh. So city slickers, suburbanites, and farmers, but not Southside then?
Oh, yeah.
You certainly have the Southside if you're heading
that
direction. And what's the solution to employment there?
You know, we hear a variety of things. Manufacturers in my area feel like they can't find enough qualified people. And even though it's manufacturing, but it's not manufacturing how it used to be. So you have to have some technical acumen, as they say. You know, we hear a lot about STEM. And even though you may not necessarily have to have a college degree, but you have to have some technical skills. Some of the jobs, you know, a high school diploma is fine, some an associate's and some higher. It's a variety of jobs for all kind of people with all kind of skills.
Who's hiring? Or give me an example of some of the jobs or the pay maybe that the jobs are offering.
The pay I'm not sure about, but the U.S. Post Office will be there, Comcast, ComEd, hospitals will be there, colleges will be there, law enforcement will be there, and then there's some just individual businesses that you might have never heard of that'll be there.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I've sure heard of those other ones. So you just show up at this event?
Right. Bring a resume, dress to impress. You know, that's part of the job readiness that we try to work with people, you know, with interview questions, what your resume should look like, what you should look like, you know, when you are presenting yourself to these businesses.
I want to go back to the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. before I let you go. But actually, let's stay on this point. So if I want to sign up for this job fair, attend, it's Friday, October 27th from 9 a.m. to noon, right? Mm-hmm. And that's at South Suburban College. That's at 15800 or 158. How do you say that? 15800 State Street, South Holland. And that's next Friday the 27th from 9 a.m. to noon. Is there a website that we can go to?
You can go to RepRobinKelly.eventbrite.com, or you can call my office, 708-679-0078.
I'll pass that along again in a little bit if you want to write that down. Is the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. as toxic as it is in newspapers, talk shows, and chat rooms? I would like to think that actually you're all adults out there, and it's not as bad as we think it is.
You know what? I think we get along much better than people think. And if you ask Republicans, they would say the same thing. I've heard them. I have a number of bipartisan bills with my Republican colleagues. Sometimes I called them. Sometimes they called me. I think it's interesting. One of my closest buddies on their side is actually Mark Meadows, the head of the Freedom Caucus, that we don't vote alike. But I think people get along better than people think. And we always joke because I bring a lot of Garrett's popcorn to Washington, D.C.
That's a good play.
I give it to my Republican friends, say I have popcorn diplomacy, and I bring the Republicans and Democrats. But, you know, there's some issues that it seems like gun violence prevention, that we just have a really hard time on getting together, and also, you know, healthcare, as you know.
What kind of conversations did you have with your colleagues after Las Vegas?
Actually, I didn't have conversations with my Republican colleagues. I feel so frustrated, to be honest with you. We do have a bipartisan bill on background checks, but leadership just won't call the bill. It's a Republican bill. Peter King from New York and Mike Thompson from California, who's a big-time gun owner Democrat, they're the two leads, and they just won't call the bill. So there's bills we have that are bipartisan. They just won't call them. So that's the other frustrating part. But I haven't really talked to anybody recently. Before, I've talked to a few people, and they always want to say, you know, mental health. They don't want to deal with the straw purchases or the gun trafficking.
Well, why can't we do both? It seems to me like I'd fight that on every front I could.
Right. You try.
But try this, because I'll bet you never thought of this. What you could tell them on the other side is that, they have won every one of these debates. Americans are not only able to buy guns, multiple guns. There are not that many checks on their ability to purchase them. And maybe that's the exercise of the Second Amendment, and you should. But it seems to me like they could lose once in a while. And if it was on bump stocks, for instance, if it was just on something to turn a gun into a machine gun, they could say, okay, we gave you that. Throw us a bone once in a while. You know what I mean?
I know, and I think a lot of them will be on board for that, but then I think they'll think, oh, we did that, and that's it. You know, it's going to be more than that, and it's not just about the mass shootings. It's you shouldn't have to die with someone else to be recognized. You know, like they have the moments of silence, which I haven't participated in almost 2 years, but they stand up, they sit down, we do nothing, and we don't stand up for the person that was killed in a park or walking down the street. It's only if you die with other people, you know,
It's famous or celebrated some awful reason.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Robin, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Congresswoman Robin Kelly is in the studio. The number for that job event is 708-679-0078.
Correct.
Or you can visit
RepRobinKelly.eventbrite.com.
It's nice to meet you. Join us again in the studio sometime.
I would love to.
Keep fighting the good fights there in our nation's capital. And I'm glad that it's a better environment than some of us would think, just sitting here from afar. So keep that going, too.